Well, good morning. My name is Johan Luque. For those of you who are visiting us today, one of the pastors here, and welcome again, everyone. And today we're going to continue and just finish our conversation on the power of small groups, right? House to house. And last week I started talking about doing small groups Jesus way. There are many ways we can do small groups, and we just want to make sure that we are bringing to our culture, on our church culture, in our lives, spiritual lives, the approach maybe that maybe getting from Jesus a few principles in how to approach, how to engage, how to do small groups. So last week, I kind of started with a question in how can we prepare so that small groups are inspiring, encouraging, and disciple-making? How can we prepare so that our small groups, ministries, and just each small group is inspiring, is encouraging, and is disciple-making? And that's kind of what we want to see happening in our small groups. It is inspiring, meaning that people are willing, are wanting to come to small groups. Encouraging, meaning that people are going home with a word of encouragement and kind of like maybe challenged, yes, but with that sense of peace in their hearts. And disciple-making is, yes, there is transformation. Small groups are supposed to provoke that in our hearts, a sense of I need to move to a next step in my spiritual journey. So that's kind of what we want to see happening in our small groups. So, and we said that list three principles from last week. I'm just going to go really quick just and reading them. Is one principle that we have to learn in order to prepare, you know, for our small groups in doing small groups Jesus way, is that we have to learn to create margins in our life, meaning that life in America is so tempting. It's so easy to just get busy with things and even just and the message that we have in our back in our minds that if we're not super busy, there is something wrong about us. If we're not engaging in a lot of things at once, there is something wrong. I'm a lazy person because we are called to be productive. So we kind of have that in our minds, but the Bible says that we have somehow to learn to balance that and give priority to the things that should have priority in our lives. So learning to make margins is kind of that principle that is helping us to see, okay, how am I arranging my life so that small groups, if I believe that Sunday's not enough, like David preached a few Sundays ago, so small groups is also a need in my life. It's another tool, it's another venue that God has provided for the church. So how can I just make margins for that in my life? So it's kind of like that principle of living, you know, in our lives without stress and just learning to not be anxious, like Matthew 6 talks about. The next principle that we talked last week is learning to rest emotionally, spiritually, and physically in Jesus. It is very important for each of us to kind of to have that goal in our lives, that we as believers, we have been given the gift of peace and rest in Jesus. And Matthew 11 talks about that invitation that Jesus give us to come to him and to rest, all of us that are tired, you know, tired of not finding peace in our hearts, in our journeys, because it's so heavy to please the all-powerful, almighty, and holy God, and I feel so bad about myself because it's so hard to fulfill all the requirements of a good Christian. And Jesus said, just come to me and let me help you with that, and in that we learn to rest in him. So we have to learn that too in order to prepare for small groups. And the last principle from last week is that deeper friendship leads to greater growth. So we saw that in Jesus' connection with his disciples and in a 1-3 kind of relationship, one in which Jesus just, you know, he really went deeper and deeper with some of the disciples like John and Peter. And we saw that these two somehow were the ones who kind of we see in the Bible that experience and portray a lot of that process of for going to a new kind of believer and kind of doubtful and kind of not understanding what it means to follow Jesus, to kind of being, you know, fathers of the church, if we put it that way. So deeper friendship leads to greater growth, and we want to apply that among ourselves. Connect deeper with us, because that's when we are in trust. You know, in today's culture, a key element is that deeper friendship develop that trust that we have to, that we need in our relationship, just so that we can speak truth and love to each other. It is very hard just for a stranger and someone that we don't have allowed to go in our hearts, kind of to tell us, hey, I have seen you, you know, doing these things, and kind of like, and you know, I don't think that you have a desire to move forward from that habit. And it's not the same as that coming from someone that we have a friendship, that someone that is just a stranger. So deeper friendship allows that greater growth that we need in our lives. So today's story is complement what we talked last week, but it's gonna also help us to prepare from the what are our motives for joining a small group, and what are the expectations that we should have. And I might not be able to cover the whole thing kind of about that kind of conversation. What are our another program for the sake of having another program? We really want to be intentional about this. So the story today is Luke chapter 7. Beautiful story, and kind of is a kind of like a small group setting kind of thing. So it's Jesus interacting with people and just being at home with some people. And the story is, you know, goes like this, the first chapter 7, verses 36 to 38. So let's read those three verses and talk a little bit about it. So it says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, that's kind of like, you know, a small group kind of thing, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. And she stood behind him at his feet weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Wow, what a treat, right? So this beginning of the story is really interesting, because we have this dynamic of the three types of person that we can have in a small group. One is that one that like is like a Pharisee, kind of like there is a motive behind it. Looks really like, wow, I'm really spiritual. I want to have the best preacher of the time on my house, and he's coming. So we might be thinking also, well, he's a Pharisee that is getting what it means, what Jesus, you know, who Jesus is, and he just want to invite him just to learn more from him. And then we have, you know, Jesus, you know, which is the truth, his love, and he's, you know, the person that is coming kind of to bring a message. And then we have the broken person. So we have this person that we are not sure exactly where his motives are, which is a Pharisee, and then we have Jesus. We know exactly what his motives were in being there. He's just speaking truth and love into people's life. And then we have the broken person, you know. So the Pharisee, you might think, well, this guy knows the staff. Pharisees were one of the religious of the time, the religious of the people of the time, and they were really, you know, they just embraced the law, you know, I would say really well, in the sense of they had a really high value for scriptures. So, and they were just, you know, people that enjoy knowledge. They really enjoy knowledge. And in a small group, we might find a lot of that, and that's okay. So expectations for our small groups. These, and that's the beginning of the story, we have at least, you know, just the idea that in our small groups, we should expect people like that. We shouldn't expect that everyone is going to be like the women. And Jesus went to that small group. Even there was a Pharisee there. What I'm saying is that we should be okay with people coming with the kind of that mentality that we don't know what exactly are the motives of the Pharisee. And there are people in our small groups that we might feel like this guy's not thinking like we do. We are just like the women. We just are broken people that are just worshipers. We're not super spiritual. We see ourselves. The expectation that we should have is that Jesus, like Jesus did, is that everyone can be in that small group. Even the Pharisee, even that person that is unhealthy, let's put it that way, in his approach to the faith. Is that the right approach? We're going to prove that it's not. But we should just kind of have the expectation that not everyone in our small group is going to think the same. And that's what we see in this, the beginning of the story. Everyone had an approach. Everyone had an approach. The woman came with a thirst for forgiveness. Jesus came with just a desire to keep loving and sharing truth. And this other person that we don't know his motive, we're going to find out what his motive were. So the story continues, you know, and they say 47, we're going to jump and a few verses. And then 47, it says, therefore, is that 47? Yes, so, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little. And Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then the other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Oh, I think I jumped some verses. I'm supposed to read 39. I'm sorry. So let's go back a little bit. Verse 39. So when Jesus is receiving that, you know, worshiping kind of from the woman, then the Pharisee came, you know, just really strong and said, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, you know, what the woman was doing, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. So that is when we know what the Pharisee's motives were. He was not believing Jesus as we all do. He was just a challenger. He was a person that was an antagonist, a person that just asked like a doubt, skeptical. And he was just trying to figure out whether this Jesus was worthy or qualified to be a leader among them. So he invited Jesus just to either to show off that he had the preacher of the time in his house, or just to challenge Jesus and trying to see if Jesus was qualified enough to be regarded as a prophet, as a rabbi. So when he saw that sinner accepted the touch of a sinner, which was not allowed, it was not okay for a rabbi to allow, you know, sinners to be close to him. It was bad. It was a bad thing. When he saw that, he started to just thinking. And he says, he just started to say to himself. So he was just thinking about who Jesus was. So Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. And then that's when he shared the story, you know. He shared a parable about the power of forgiveness and how forgiveness works. So, and this is very beautiful, and I want to just make a parenthesis here in that I don't know if this has happened to you, but at least it happened to me because I didn't grow up a believer. I grew up Catholic. And in my previous years to you know, when I became a believer, I had a rough kind of time in my life when I really wasn't obedient to my parents. I really, you know, I was drinking alcohol, just hanging out with my friends and getting into a lot of trouble, fighting in the neighborhood. Everyone I don't want to generalize, but I was known in the neighborhood like a troublemaker because I was getting into fights and kind of being aggressive and really dominant kind of person and just being ready and even hurting people with a baseball bat that my dad had and I used as my weapon to hurt people. And we did that when I was maybe 17, 18. I did it. I lived that kind of rebellious life for a year. But that kind of allowed me, next to my experience in my family, when Jesus started to touch my heart, to really see the value of grace. The story here that is not there, Jesus shared a parable and saying, he said, the person who receives more forgiveness for the thing is going to be prompted in their heart to be a greater worshiper. And I know for some of you who grew up believers, you know, and didn't have a rough kind of experience growing up, and you love Jesus, but the worshiping kind of flow that comes out of, man, I was like this, so broken, and I can't believe that Jesus took me this to this point. And I'm not putting that as a superhero kind of faith. I'm just saying that it is kind of sometimes easier for a person who had a bad past, just a really bad experience in the past, to come and love more to Jesus. And Jesus tell them, hey, you Pharisee, you have been a Pharisee through your life, and you know, you look like a person that only needed this much forgiveness. But this woman, she was a sinner and she needed this much. Who do you think is going to love more when that person received forgiveness? And the Pharisee, well, the person that had more sin, and he was so proud of himself because he was just, you know, he only needed some forgiveness. And Jesus said, well, because of that, this person is more qualified or more open, more prompted to receive grace from me. And therefore, because she's humbling herself, she's able to worship more. And I know some of you might have personal earnest walking around here worshiping, and maybe, you know, seeing some of people like, why is this person so like really like want to grab heaven? It's because coming from a sad, a broken past, and now knowing grace, that kind of like makes us more, wow, I really just want to worship God. And so that's kind of what we see in this dynamic, in this woman kind of seeing, wait, what's going on with you? Why are you worshiping like that? Why is she touching you like that? And you're not saying anything since she's a sinner. And Jesus basically defended her and said, because she understood how grace worked. She knows that she is in this house, even she's not supposed to be here. She came to our small group right here with the right heart, with the right motives, just to seek me. And the Pharisee was just this person that had knowledge and was just a challenger in this, even though he was part of that small group kind of thing, dynamic. And again, we should have the expectation that we're going to find that in our groups. How are we going to react when we find these two type of extremes? A person that is challenging and doesn't seem to have the right motives, and a person that is like all broken, but with a sincere heart, but might not have the right theology, but have the right heart just to come before Jesus and worship. Not everyone is going to look like everyone else, and we have to expect that, right? But we also have to challenge a little bit, like Jesus did, this person, and that's why at the end Jesus said in verse 50, Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. One of the things that we have to aim and make sure that our small groups are giving is peace. We don't want to create a small group just to be a classroom in which people are going to just fill in and receiving knowledge, receiving, or just to be this, you know, kind of a space where people are going to be receiving, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad, and then going home discouraged. Yes, truth should come, but also love and grace. And that's what produces peace. Not just love. Love in itself, grace without truth is halfway. And truth and true peace comes when we experience a truth that is coming and helping us to love and receive that love. So, what are some of the motives that we should have as we gather in small groups? And just in our journey, so gathering with the right motives. I see at least three things that we can really take with us from this story. We have to see the gathering of small groups as an encounter with Jesus and not as a program of the church. Small groups are not a program. Always on time, every meeting, and I'm fulfilling the requirements, you know, for the small group. No, we really want the right motives. It's an encounter with Jesus, which is what the woman did. She wanted to encounter Jesus. We should come with a seeker attitude, not with the observer, which is where the Pharisee was just seeing who was, you know, doing what. But this woman, he just cared about Jesus. When you just care about Jesus, it's very easy to be patient with all the other people in our group. To be okay with, man, this person is always late. Okay, we have to, you know. When you just come to seek Jesus, you see those things, but you are so narrow and intentional about your encounter with Jesus that you kind of like those observations, that they don't affect your heart for that meeting, for that encounter. So we should avoid being an observer. And very important is that if you see the passage, the woman didn't say a word. The woman just showed up to the meeting and worshiped, you know, and just going down on Jesus' feet and showing, you know, that love and giving her best to Jesus. And the woman didn't say a word in the whole story. The Pharisee, yes, that guy had to talk. And we had those kind in a group. We have people that really love talking, right? So, but this woman was a listener, just receiving. And we have this challenger. Some of us, you know, have a little bit of all of those, you know, things, you know, as pastor and maybe some of us who are teachers, we really, you know, we kind of have that tendency to challenge things. And it's okay, but we have to remember, Jesus did it in that story. He did it with love and truth. And that's the right way to approach this. So challenger and antagonist attitude in a small group is going to affect. So we have to prepare. How do we prepare for small groups so that they are inspiring, encouraging, and disciple-making? We have to come with a desire to encounter Jesus, to be seekers of love and truth and good relationship, and to be listeners more than just people that talk. We just have to receive. So what we're going to do now is kind of a transition to part of what we want to make sure that everyone has opportunity to hear you have been talking about small groups the whole month, but what are happening? I want to be part of one. Maybe you're just coming for the first time, you're visiting, and we just want you to know that it's going to be a safe space that we're going to create here. The next 10 minutes, we're going to just talk to those of us who say, hey, I feel like I want to open my house to have small groups. Some